weeks ago, Brother Peart had asked that I give a passage to be read in the initial part of the service, and if I were giving one to be read, I would give either Acts 10:15 or Deuteronomy 15:21. You may read any or both of those passages. We're glad to have back Sister Johnson with us, and we wonder why she was gone so long. Let us have the passage.
Acts chapter 10, verse 12.
Verse 15,
and it reads, And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
Read verse 14 to get context.
But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.
So God now respond to that. Verse 15 now.
And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
Okay. Today's lesson, we look on how, as God's people, we must reverence Christ. We must reverence worship. We must reverence the church. There are quite a few passages. I'll be making some comment on the one just read, plus many others as time allows. In the first place, you and I, every one of us, we deal and relate to most things and people in life on the basis of reverence and respect, or on the basis of oneness, commonness, or we deal with things on the basis of a type of in-between. It doesn't matter. Or we may deal with some things with total disregard or disrespect. That's the way we relate to people and things. That is, as I've said, reverence, respect, commonness. And by commonness, it doesn't mean necessarily that you don't have any reverence. It simply means there are some things we deal with on a basis of equality. There are other things we deal with, it doesn't matter. There are other things we don't even care about respect. From examples and commands and necessary inference in the Bible, what we have learned is that God and things relating to God must always be dealt with reverence, respect and high regard, not only as we try to relate to our Creator, our Savior, the Almighty God, but things relating to God, things such as worship, the church, We must remember these are not common. That's right. They are to be dealt with reverence, with respect, and high regard. God demands it. The Almighty God expects it. And the Almighty God deserves it and commanded that it be done. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. Another brother turned to Deuteronomy 15, 21. Hebrews 12, 28.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
How we may serve him, brother?
Acceptably, with reverence and
did you
godly
hear?
Fear.
We must just galanso. No. We must serve him how with?
Acceptably.
It must be acceptable to God.
With reverence.
So wait. That means we must always be mindful that you cannot just do what you want when you are pleasing God. In fact, we cannot just give God what we like.
Amen.
Did you know that no organ or piano or guitar was ever brought into worship to please God? The consideration for the organ in denominational worship is the worshiper. It is what it does to the worshiper, not to God. Wait, look here. For you and for me to think that because you like curry goat, God must like curry goat. That's a short-sightedness. Because you like reggae music, God must like reggae music. That's short-sightedness. Don't ever bring God down to man. Sad to do that. What God wants is that we bring our thinking up to the level of his word. And that thinking is what guide action. But sometimes it's like we cut God down to human size and thinking. Because emotionally, instrumental music appeals to our emotion, etc., our aesthetic taste and sense. We just assume that if God don't love this music, there's something wrong with him. No, it's something wrong with us. To think that God can be brought down to our likes and dislikes and to our tastes. Hebrews, the passage that was just read from chapter 12, verse 28 says, we must serve him with
reverence and godly fear.
And godly fear. To reverence and respect or regard something or someone is to treat and relate to that thing or that person with a higher, a better, and to do it differently from the way you relate to ordinary thing. I'm going to go over that. To relate, to reverence, respect, or regard someone or something is to treat that person or that thing, or to relate to that person or that thing in ways that are higher, better, different, more ways that are more considerate, thoughtful than we do common or ordinary things. It means to relate to that thing or that person on special level, reserved only for special things. When I was growing up, both my mother and grandmother, there are certain utensils, dishes and other crockery, that those will come out only probably once or twice a year. Only when I remember when my granduncle, that's my mother, my grandmother brother who lives in Kingston here, and he had one sweepstake about, he was one of the top agent and won it about two times. Of course, he was very considerate to the family. Right now, land that he owned and had built his little country house, when he's tired of town, him come spend a week or two, it's my brother and myself right now responsible for it. But only when person like him coming to visit his sister, which was my grandmother, that certain utensils and things are brought out. Those things were special. They were for special occasion. You cannot, in the thinking of my grandmother, mother, whoever, you could not put ordinary spoon and fork and crockery or plates on the table when they are coming. Look at Acts chapter 10 now, verse 15. Let us hear from verse 14.
But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything."
I said 14 and 15. I think that's what
yes,
I said. Yeah.
It's verse 14.
14.
Yes. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean."
So the Almighty God command, God was teaching Peter a lesson. And most of us here well understand that Peter not having, well, let me put it the right way. Peter had been taught throughout his entire life. And the generation of Jews that came before Peter had been taught the same thing. You are a special people. You must not relate to the other nation. Remember, the word Gentile literally means that. The word Gentile. Gentile. Gentile, it means other nations. And that is referring to the Gentile, the other nation that were not Jew. So the Almighty God told the Israelite, Don't relate to them. Don't have any mingling with them unless it is absolutely necessary. So when the Almighty God gave Peter this vision, kill and eat. Well, the Jews were also taught not to just eat any and any flesh. Things that you and I now eat readily, they were taught, for example, things like lobster, which is so expensive. You know, it reminds me, Sister Mitchell and myself were in Niagara Falls some years ago, and this restaurant advertised, and they have it, the lobster tail, well drawn. I don't know, a photograph they took. You walk passing the place and it catches your eye. And the price in comparison to what the lobster sells for in place like Niagara Falls. It's a place that attracts so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of tourists every day. And, you know, we saw the price. That is good price for lobster tail. So we went in to eat. But we thought it was a meal. They serve the lobster tail, but you have to order what you want to go with it. Now, that's weird. They catch you. Whatever, be it a slice of bread or some rice or whatever that comes with it. That's where the price was escalated. I never forget that experience. That's right. Now, but the Israelites were told not to eat things like shrimps, lobster. Now the Almighty God is telling Peter, kill and eat. Just don't make any distinction. Peter said, not so, Lord. But brothers and sisters, that is a contradiction in terms. You do not say not so if he's your Lord. They don't go together. That's literally a contradiction in terms. Not so, Lord. No. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you never say not so to him. A lot of times we find ourselves in situations like Peter. We want to, on one hand, treat God as God, but on another hand, it's like we want to teach him. Not so, Lord. Peter, no, you don't say not so to your Lord. I'm telling, I've never eaten anything unclean. So what Jesus Christ said in verse 15?
And the voice spake unto him again the second time.
Yes, you need a second speaking from that voice. Read.
What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
What God cleansed, don't... You get the point here? What God cleansed, it is special. You don't treat it as common, ordinary. And this is, may I, this was preparing Peter to convert Gentile. But get this, brothers and sisters. When a Gentile, when any man or woman give Jesus Christ, give the Almighty God a chance to have you cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, you become special. That's the implication of the passage. Because Peter was about to be escorted to Cornelius' house. The Almighty God says, what God has cleansed, in other words, within a few days you are going to be called to go and teach and convert a Gentile. Now that man will be a special vessel to God, if for no other reason other than the fact that he or she has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christians are not ordinary people. Now, we are ordinary human beings. But when Jesus Christ has dealt with us, in God's sight, we are special. That's right. What God cleansed, never you call it common. The word common means pertaining to or equal to all. That's the meaning in a nutshell. Pertaining to or equal to all. Wait. But Brother Mitchell, have I read somewhere of the common salvation? Yes. That doesn't mean salvation is cheap and not worth anything. The common salvation there, it is a salvation that belongs to everyone. It is the salvation that everyone who is going to be saved, you need it. That's the idea there. So the word common, as I've said, mean are pertaining equally to all. The word common means for the most part. I've just given you an example where the word common has a different or a slight different meaning. The word meant means not sacred. The word mean no bounds. No bound. No bounds are boundary. It's just let loose. The word common mean not special. May I? Back in the Old Testament, the Almighty God on spiritual things or institution, when dealing with them, there was a line drawn. The passage in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 21, let us hear it. And somebody else turned the book of Leviticus chapter 19, 30. Let us hear it. Deuteronomy 15, 21.
And if there be any blemish therein.
If there be any blemish therein.
As if it be lame.
If the animal was lame.
Or blind.
If the animal was blind.
Or of any ill blemish.
Or any form of blemish on that animal.
Thou shalt not sacrifice it
unto
the Lord.
Don't take it to God. Brothers and sisters, this is addressing that God is special. Very important that we get this lesson. Because the Almighty God is still special. And ought to be. Remember, what the brother has just read is about worship. Are we all there? Huh? No, I'm not trying to remember. Is your attention a need? Do I have it? I come to church. All week I work and I earn. I took care of my different responsibilities. It never dawned on me that as a child of God, part of what I earned, some of it belonged to God as a Christian. So I come to church. I remember nothing about offering. That's not a part of my thought pattern. And when the plate or the basket reached down to me, that I said, hey, let me see if me have any small change here. You see, you don't treat God like that. Are we all there? You don't treat God like that. How should it be done? When I earn that which I'm going to give for the church to continue God's work, I put it aside. And it should not be put aside when I spend all I have for everything else. And if I have a little left, me say, well, you know, I can give a little offering Sunday coming, then lucky. You see, we are boring hole in our own pocket daily. It doesn't matter how much you are earning and feel, you'll never be in need. The Almighty God can make it that one day something arises in your life that money you have piled up can never be of help. So the passage read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 21 is telling the Israelite, when you bring a sacrifice, make sure that that sheep or that oxen, that is cow, that it is without, if it has two color, I don't want it. If it walk and limp, I don't want it. That is saying to the Israelite, show reverence to God. And we are expected to do the same. Look at chapter 19 of Leviticus, verse 13. And turn to Psalms 89:7. Let us hear Psalms.
Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary.
Wait, you hear? This was command to the Israelite. Yes, this was command. Remember, this was not to the Gentiles. They were the other nations. It was command to the Israelite in respect to when they kept the Sabbath. Remember how the Sabbath should be kept and why? It was meant to be a rest day for the Israelite. Why? In preaching and teaching, a lot of time we take things for granted that everybody knows it. But even if you know it, let me refresh your memory. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Quick. I didn't intend to ever bring that passage in this lesson, but it just come to me that I need to point it out. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Quick. Why were the Israelites told to keep the Sabbath?
And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt.
The word servant, there is the word slave. God is speaking to the Israelite through Moses. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt.
And that the Lord thy God
brought thee out.
Thence through a mighty hand. And by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord
what,
thy
brother?
Therefore.
What?
Therefore.
Therefore, wait, Brother Mitchell, that's a simple word. Yes. Grammarian call it a conjunctive adverb. It serves the part of an adverb and a conjunction. Therefore, why?
The Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day.
You get the drift? The word therefore means This is why God commands you to keep the Sabbath. Wait. You have some people out there fooling you that it has to do with God's rest on the seventh day. The passage I've just read is Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Write it down at the back of your Bible. This passage tells why God commanded Israel to keep the Sabbath. The therefore, as simple as the word, it's a key word in the passage because it has the reason, it has the meaning of this is why you are commanded to keep the Sabbath. But back to the passage in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30.
Ye shall keep my Sabbath,
mm-hmm,
and reverence my sanctuary.
And reverence. Wait. What was the sanctuary? The Ark of the Covenant was the sanctuary.
Amen.
And God says that that's the place that represents the presence of God. And God said, you must reverence my sanctuary, which means show respect, high regard. Don't treat it as nothing. And I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that worship is one of the things we must not treat as common. Worship is when God and his people meet. It is that special occasion when we need to give God something. You know, Wednesday night we look at the first worship. Cain and Abel. In fact, I was planning to bring a message up to yesterday. I thought that's what I would be preaching this morning because I'm sure enough time to deal with it in Wednesday night to show that in that first worship so much come out. But worship is special. Is when God's people come to bring something to God. Is it adoration? Is it songs of praises? Is it bowing and speaking to God? Name it. Worship usually always involve giving to God. There are many hundreds of worship in the Old Testament and New Testament. But there are two stand out. The one of Cain and Abel, and the one where the Almighty God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac. Everybody knows about those two worship, but I wonder, all of us who are aware of those two worship, do we see that one of the essential ingredients in both worship is giving back to God some of what he gives you? So what the passage there says, you must not only reverence, keep the Sabbath, Israelite, you must reverence the sanctuary. Look at Psalms 89 and verse 7.
God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Read that again.
God is greatly to be feared.
God is greatly to be feared.
In the assembly of
the saints. In the assembly
of the saints.
Of the saints. Somebody didn't hear that. In the assembly of the saints. We must go approach God recognizing He is so much higher, holier, righteous, more powerful, awesome than we are. That calls for reverence. Read on, brother.
And to be heard in reverence.
He must be what?
Heard in reverence.
Heard in reverence. If you are going to relate to the Almighty God in any form or shape, reverence must be there. While we can say that in both Old and New Testament, reverence and respect for God and things spiritual is taken for granted. By taken for granted, I mean the Israelite as a people, when they relate to God in worship, etc., etc., as a rule, they knew that they should approach God with respect and reverence and high regard. Throughout the Old Testament, you see this. But there are numerous examples showing or demonstrating that there were cases where the Israelites forget this. That they did not show the reverence that they ought to. This represents danger for them and rejection of what they give. We look first at a passage we all know quite well, and that is Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them.
May I point out something here? The ingredients mentioned here, including the fire, were all appropriate and commanded by God. But watch here. The Almighty God had stipulated the very place the fire should be taken from. May I just drop along here since we are passing? You and I have no right to change any aspect of worship given to us as Christians. That's not our prerogative. What we are to try to do is to understand what is commanded to us and reverence and respect it as we practice it. Read on, brother.
Which he commanded them not.
You see, that's always. It was important then, Brother McFarlane, and it is important now that we do not feel that what we want is what God likes. We do not feel that what we like is what God likes. We must not think like that when dealing with God. Amen. We must not have the attitude that a thing sounds so good that God must love this. No. We must be directed by God's word. Must. May I just drop here? When Cain and Abel worshiped, no one would have imagined that faith was or ought to have been involved there. But that faith must base on God's word. Every time genuine faith is discussed, God's word must be the foundation of that faith. For faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. Faith always must rest on what God says. Read, brother.
And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Read.
Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord speaks, saying.
Wait, watch it. God had spoken to them previously on the matter, but they did not pay the attention that they were to pay to it. So when this is what Moses is saying, this is what God meant. But he's not, I'm coming to what I really want in the passage. Read on.
This is it that the Lord speaks, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
Take time with me, brother. I will be treated as special. I will be honored. I will be exalted. I will be reverenced by anyone who approach me. Amen. Anybody. You cannot come or approach me like I'm ordinary. That's what the passage means. Was that so then? Yes. Is that so now? Yes. But wait. May I? This is a wonderful passage for you to use to teach the ungodly that God does not hear sinners' prayer. Wait, let's deal with that a little. You know, even if I have to close and it's become coming down to the end, even though there are a few more passages. Brothers and sisters, when the Almighty God, through Moses, spoke to the Israelite that I will be sanctified. Wait. Brother Michel, what does that mean? I will be set apart as being special. Huh? By anyone who come nigh me, anyone who approach me. Amen. Get me now. Watch here now. The ungodly men are women who care nothing about serving God. Eh? They forget God. They something go wrong in their life. And they go, oh, Almighty God. You know what they forget? You know what they forget? They forget their sins. That with this, you cannot approach God. That's why men need to be in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ deals with our sins so that we can go to the throne of grace. Wait. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 3 that the brother is reading. I will be sanctified. That means I will be treated as holy. But wait. The ungodly men are women who think you can just run to God. Every time a street have a pothole, can I just run to the prime minister? Every time a government officer, agent not do right at this office or that right, can I just run to? No, sir. I would have to go through so much secretaries and wait for appointment. That's what it's all about. Sin is the stumbling block. Men who think you can just run to God like that. My grandmother always say, you think me and your quabs, no? what that word mean, I don't know. that means you think me and your equal? We country people, boy and girl, know when they say you and them are not quabs. And the sinner think them and God are quabs. Huh? I will be set apart. Don't treat God as nothing or as common. And we need to help the ungodly to understand. Why is it that brother, there are so many things. Why is it that Abraham, even though on the two occasions it was Abraham, fear cowardice that caused Abram to encourage his wife to lie. When you go in this city, you're a beautiful woman, and the men going to find you attractive. Don't tell them that I'm your husband. Tell them you're my sister. Abram, are you satisfied with that? But when a king want to take her for his wife, what I find striking, but thank God I understand it, was when by his taking her to the palace, not having any relationship, he sinned. But you know what I find? Instead of God asking the king to pray for Abram, because it was Abram's lie that bring all of that about, God asks Abraham to pray for the king. You know why? There was a relationship between God and Abraham. There was no relationship between the king and God. Let me give you one more example, or else I'll stay here all day and preach. There are so many examples. When you have ever read the book of Job, it's one of the richest books in the Bible. Job's three friends defended God. Huh? They said so many wonderful things about God in showing Job that he had sinned against God. Are we all there? Are we all there? Throughout the book, one after the other, showing Job, God is righteous, God is holy. But you know what I find striking? In chapter 42, the last chapter, making sure I find it, just those few verses. If I want somebody to read it. Yes, chapter 42, verse 8.
Therefore.
In fact, brother, read 42, 7 and 8.
And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said,
because we are wrapping up, may I get your attention here? Because just all these are just illustration to show that without this reverence for God, we create additional spiritual problem for ourselves. Now, as I've said throughout the book of Job, from about chapter 4 or 5, somewhere there, these men have been defending God. That is in our view. And Job has been expressing his own conflict in understanding what's going on. I thought I was a God-fearing man. I tried to serve God. Throughout the book of Job, it reached the point now we're at the end. The Almighty God is addressing not only Job's three friends, but also Job, because God had to chastise Job too, you know. Wait, what do you mean? God had to rebuke Job. But God, I think, is now dealing with Job, friend. Read.
And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee.
Everybody. I wish, like, if we have a study where we could go back in the book of Job and see some of the great, wonderful, awesome, positive things that Eliphaz says about the Almighty God. Praising God. Read, brother.
My wrath is kindled against thee,
mm-hmm.
and against thy two friends,
mm-hmm.
for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job.
Oh, wait, don't move, brother. You see, the things that is right is always measured by God's standard, not human standard. Because these three friends of Job, who were also deeply religious men, thought that they were speaking the things that were right and that they were defending God. Read on.
Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you.
You may stop there. Wait, read a little more.
For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right.
The things that they spoke sound good to them, you know. But when it measured by God's standard, that's why in the Church of Christ we encourage men and women to go by what the gospel says, not by what your imagination are feeling. What is striking here is that they could not pray for themselves.
Amen.
Job had to. Why? He was in a relationship with God.
Amen.
The sinner need to understand, you cannot just go to God. So you must be in a relationship with God through Christ. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? You must be a child of God. Thousands, millions of sin out there believe, well, God is somewhere. When I have a headache, I can go to him. No, it doesn't work like that. We must reverence God. Oh, there are so many more things. I don't know if I'll come back to this lesson. I want to take you, not today, because the lesson is as good as ending right here. I want to take you to the reverence and respect that was in David. I want to take you to a passage in Malachi that shows reverence and respect for God. I want to take you to a passage in John to show you what reverence and respect mean. I want to take you to a passage in 1 Thessalonians to show you what reverence and respect for God and things religious mean. But not today. Another time. We end the lesson today in reminding us that we must reverence the Almighty God, reverence the church, reverence worship. When we meet like this, we meet to give God praise and honor. Let us do it with reverence. Let us do it like we acknowledge that in a very special way we are in the presence of the Almighty God. If you are here today, if you are not a child of God, what better time to do it than now? You can start learning how to reverence, show respect, show reverence and honor to the Almighty God. When you treat God as common, as nothing, as your equal, you and the Almighty God can have no relationship whatsoever. None. Because the Almighty God knows when we reverence and respect him, you know. So it's important that we learn what it means to reverence God. Today you can give your life to Jesus Christ through faith in Christ, through repentance from your sin, through confession, not of your sin, but of Jesus' name. And through getting baptized for the removal of your sin. Did you know that there is no way, if you are an alien sinner, never became a Christian, there is no way your sins can be dealt with by God outside of baptism. It is in baptism that the Almighty God, through Christ, removes your sin. It means that all the sins you have committed all your life, they are still held against you today, this moment. But right in this hour, you can give your life to Jesus Christ through faith in him, repentance from sin, confession of his name, and getting baptized. Let us stand as Christ calls you. 5.